Good morning, and I'm glad to welcome you all to Redeemer this week. We're glad you're here and hope you will join us every week for our worship. I'll remind you once again that we do celebrate Holy Communion during this worship service, and we invite you to get your elements ready at home so that you can celebrate communion with us when we get to that in our worship. Let me also remind you of our Lenten worship this coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Our overall theme is Faltering to Faithful, Us and the Steadfast Love of God. I invite you to join us as we worship with Holden Evening Prayer. This past week, we sent out the monthly Crossroads newsletter, and if you got that by email, you would have found in there the Easter lily form to provide lilies for our Easter celebration. They were also in the Friday e-newsletter that normally goes out, and we have some here in the Narthex. So those are available for you any way you could possibly get to them, or call us and we can help you with that as well. Finally, for me at least, I'll remind you that the council did establish a new target date for in-person worship here at Redeemer. Provided the numbers don't make radical changes in the virus, we will invite you to join us at either 8:30 or 11 on March 21st. That's our target date. And so we're excited about that and excited to welcome you back. Vicar Amanda, your turn.
Thanks. And I would say, with the announcement of us being in person again, we will still have live stream every Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern. So that will not change at all if you continue watching online, which is a very faithful response during this pandemic time.
Thank you for reminding us.
Yes. There is a lot going on. So if you have a calendar and want to get a pen and pencil out to mark some dates down, we're going to try and have an Easter egg hunt. Since we're opening back up and it's going to be Easter soon, I really, really, really want to have an Easter egg hunt. So we're going to try that on March 27th. That's a Saturday. If it's raining, we're going to try for April 3rd. There'll be more information coming out about that. Also, for your calendar, youth group. Our 6th through 12th graders will be meeting in person again, obviously with masks and social distancing and lots of hand sanitizer. But that will be on Monday, March 22nd. We will gather from 7 to 8 p.m. here at Redeemer. You're welcome to invite your friends, and that's for all 6th through 12th graders. I have a couple other announcements as well. The Blessing Box is still a ministry that continues to be used by our community, and so we need to continue filling it. So if you're willing, please pick up a few extra items at the grocery store and bring to the Blessing Box. We'll also continue with our 2 p.m. Zoom book study on What's So Amazing About Grace. If you are interested in joining us for that, just send me an email or a message on the comment section. And last but not least, we had a call from Sharing God's Love that they are in need of Easter baskets to give out to the children of their clients to help share some Easter joy. And so Redeemer will be filling Easter baskets and putting those together for Sharing God's Love. And so there's a sign-up genius, and we will be inviting you to sign up on that and contribute to that project. Those are all of my announcements.
Well, I have a new Blessing Box story that happened just this morning.
Will you share, please?
When I went out to my car to get something and ran into a member of the community who is not a member of our church, who has found the Blessing Box to be a blessing in his own life, not by taking things out, but by putting things in. So this person had brought things, not a member of our church, just to put in our Blessing Box.
That is wonderful.
Yep.
Lots of ways it can bless people.
Yep. All right, let us prepare for our worship with our confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the keeper of the covenant, the source of steadfast love, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
God hears us when we cry and draws us close in Jesus Christ. Let us return to the one who is full of compassion. Fountain of living water, pour out your mercy over us. Our sin is heavy, and we long to be free. Rebuild what we have ruined, and mend what we have torn. Wash us in your cleansing flood. Make us alive in the Spirit to follow in the way of Jesus as healers and restorers of the world you so love. Amen. Beloved, God's word never fails. The promise rests on grace. By the saving love of Jesus Christ, the wisdom and power of God, your sins are forgiven, and God remembers them no more. Journey in the way of Jesus. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, Lord, have mercy. mercy, Lord, have mercy. Be with you. Let us pray. O God, by the passion of your blessed Son, you made an instrument of shameful death to be for us the means of life. Grant us so to glory in the cross of Christ, that we may gladly suffer shame and loss for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I invite all the children to gather around the screen for our time for a children's message. And what I brought you today are some gloves that I happen to have. Now, this pair is one that I keep in my car. And this is actually what's called a glove liner. And what that means is I keep these in my car because they're not very big and bulky. But there are times when I get in the car the first thing in the morning, you know what? It's really cold. And so a lot of times I'm even leaving the house before the sun's even up, and it's really cold. And I get in my car, and it's cold, and the steering wheel is so cold, it's hard to hold on to it. That's why I have this pair of gloves, because I can put this on, and then I can hold on to the steering wheel without my hands getting really, really cold. And then I have this pair of gloves. This is the pair of gloves that I use. What if it snowed? Wouldn't that be fun if it snowed and we'd go outside in the snow and play and things? But if you don't wear gloves, your hands would get really cold. Vicar Amanda used to live in Wisconsin where it snowed a lot. Did you need gloves up there?
Yes, we did. Sometimes 2 or 3 pairs.
Sometimes lots of gloves, because if you dig your hands in the snow when you don't have gloves, what happens to your hands? They get frozen, so that's what this pair of gloves is for. This is for other times, not when I'm not driving, that my hands might get cold. That's what I have this pair of gloves. But this is the pair of gloves I really wanted to show you. Let me put these right over here so they're not in my way. These are work gloves. And you can even see, when I've got something to do in the yard, maybe I have some weeds that need pulling or some trash I need to move or to set something on fire to burn away, or all kind of work you can do with work gloves. And you put these on to help keep your hands protected while you're doing all that work. But the work gloves are important because whenever I see these gloves, I remember that I have a job to do. I have something important that needs to be done, and so I get ready to go out and do it. And that's important because when you listen to our gospel reading from Vicar Amanda, it's talking about the love of God that's given to us and how we are called to go out and give love to others as well. So you might think of it that giving love is kind of like our work gloves. That's the work we're called to do. And love is what sends us out to do it. And we're caught up in that. And every time I see my work gloves, I think about that I have a job from God. And that job is to give God's love and to live God's love for everybody else. So that's what I want you to remember today. Let's pray. God of grace, thank you for loving us. And help us to take all the love you give us and give it away to everybody else. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
a reading from Genesis. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come from her. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all of this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When our girls were little, and I was talking with Kevin about possible dessert after dinner, I'd spell out I-C-E-C-R-E-A-M. You have different conversations when you're around small children. Well, because little children and the possibility of ice cream, it's good stuff. As they grew older and learned to spell, well, conversations changed. And now they laugh at me if I accidentally spell out ice cream in front of them, because, of course, they can all spell now. There are different ways in which to communicate with each other, And there are different occasions, some for quiet whispers, and other opportunities for loud shouts, or even spelling out words. In our scripture for today, Jesus has a conversation with his disciples that evolves in an interesting way. To get the complete picture, we need to go back a few verses before Jesus talked about his suffering and death. He had another part of this conversation. Mark 8, verse 27 says, Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. And then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected. Jesus starts with a conversation of seemingly simple questions. Then Jesus sternly orders the disciples not to tell anyone their answers. Jesus tells the disciples of his suffering and death in a very open way. But then Peter turns the conversation into rebuking Jesus. But Jesus rebukes Peter right back. And then Jesus brings in this whole crowd into this conversation and teaching. In these few verses, the conversation style and topics cover a wide range. In the first phase of this conversation, Jesus is asking questions. Who do people say that Jesus is? Who do the disciples say that Jesus is? Well, Peter announces that Jesus is the Messiah. And we may associate the Messiah directly with Jesus. Our lens, the way we look at it, equates those with one another. However, to Peter and the disciples and the society at that time, the Messiah was thought of as a savior that would free them from the oppressive Roman Empire. Jesus ends that part of the conversation with a stern order to keep that information about him being the Messiah quiet. It's curious to us. We're told to share with everyone about Jesus. And at that point, the disciples were commanded to keep quiet. Conversations look very different from different sides. Jesus starts the second part of this conversation with his suffering and death. This is the first of three times in Mark's gospel that Jesus talks about his impending crucifixion. When we hear this conversation, we're likely to treat it as somewhat old news. We are looking at it from 2,000 years on the other side of the resurrection. The disciples, though, they were hearing this for the very first time. They were following this teacher, and now they are hearing that they are following him to suffering and death. I wonder, how would you and I react to that news if we were in their place? I imagine we would have a strong reaction to this conversation and a lot of questions. Peter takes this next section of the conversation and rebukes Jesus. While we don't know exactly what he said, We can make some inferences from Jesus' reaction. Perhaps Peter shared the hope that Jesus was going to rally some military might to free them from their Roman oppression. This would be focusing on human matters. And it would have made sense for the disciples to be in that frame of mind, a human frame of mind. And it is this human reaction that leads Jesus to do some teaching. In the Gospel of Mark, each of these three times Jesus talks very bluntly about his suffering and death. Well, afterwards, the disciples act in a way that again demonstrates that they still don't know what's going on, and they are still focused on earthly concerns. Each of these three instances then ends with Jesus teaching about discipleship, about following him. What started as questions between Jesus and his disciples then moved to Jesus talking openly about his death and resurrection, with a shift to a private conversation of Peter rebuking Jesus. It all ends with Jesus summoning a crowd to hear the last bit of this multifaceted exchange. Jesus talks to the crowd about denying oneself. It's not about a facade of humility or neglecting one's personal needs. It's about keeping your priorities as God's priorities. Loving God and loving your neighbor. Jesus also makes it clear that this is not just a path for the chosen few. He uses the words anyone, they, whoever. Jesus casts this call to follow him wide. All are welcome. We are welcome. Jesus' invitation is moving and inspiring, and it also comes with a challenge. For the disciples of that day, discipleship, following Jesus, meant a life-changing commitment. That commitment might also be life-threatening. Jesus' ministry in the world is so radical, so life-giving, so different than the established leadership of that day. Those who opposed Jesus were opposing the kingdom of God, breaking into the world and creating a new way of being, a new way of living. And so this invitation and this challenge is extended to all of us as well. So in the here and now, I'm curious, what kind of conversations will we have about all of this? Who will we say that Jesus is? What pieces of God's mission in the world will we whisper about? Which pieces will we shout about? Why does it matter? Well, who is Jesus to us? Society has so many faces that they put on Jesus. A friendly shepherd petting lambs and holding chubby-cheeked children, looking at all of them with tenderness. A healer that spits to make mud and puts it on people's eyes to heal their blindness. A teacher that helps us learn to pray. And a Messiah that stands up to the powers and principalities of the world for the sake of God's kingdom. A Messiah that is killed by those in power who wish to maintain the status quo. What kind of conversations can we have? What pieces shall we shout about? What pieces of God's mission in the world will we whisper about? And why does it matter? Maybe it's easier to think about the conversations where we can shout the good news. Jesus loves you. All the time. No matter what. May the Lord bless you and keep you now and always. Amen. Peace be with you. Those phrases are easy and fun to shout. Most of the time, we can share those with confidence and with ease. But what kind of conversations can we have? What pieces are we only willing to whisper about? And why does it matter? Jesus was a radical that opposed the oppressive Roman Empire and the upper hierarchy of religious leadership. Jesus didn't come to make his disciples, his followers, or us feel good. He came to call us to a life transformed by God's mission. We cannot be bystanders and followers of Christ at the same time. Jesus tells us that we have a cross to bear as well. We can't pull that cross out of the hallway closet just for Christmas and Easter. It doesn't just accompany us on Sundays or just here at the church building. We're called to bear our cross in a life fully entrenched in the ways of Jesus every day. The conversations that we shout, the ones that we whisper. Why does it matter that we have these conversations regardless of our comfortability with them? Because God's mission in the world is not limited by how comfortable we are. We can't pick and choose the convenient times and places to be known as Christ followers, or more importantly, to act as Christ followers. It certainly may be easier when we are gathered as a community of faith. However, we're called to follow Jesus' radical ministry while we're at work, at school, at the dinner table, out with our friends. But it's not just about physical locations or groups that we are with. Our following Christ accompanies us as we make decisions about what products to buy, how we shop, and how we use the money that we have. Following Christ should shape how we engage with social justice and how we support leadership in organizations, companies, and our nation. Following Christ guides our relationship with creation and all of humanity. Those conversations that seem to happen in a whisper are important, but they don't have to stay in a whisper. We can be brave and look at these hard pieces of what God's mission in the world looks like. We can take courage and have those conversations about what Jesus invites us to do out in the world and challenge that we undoubtedly face when we follow Jesus. We can have these conversations about living as followers of Christ. We need to have these conversations. Maybe we'll have them in a Bible study, maybe at the bus stop, perhaps in a Sunday school class or at the dinner table over some ICECREAM. But the beauty of talking about our faith and how we follow Christ is the community that is created. When we recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit in every conversation we We have opportunities to be part of the inbreaking of the kingdom of God that is already but not yet. Who are you called to have conversations with this week? Amen.
Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. O Lord Jesus, you endured the great suffering and humiliation of the cross so that our sins might be forgiven. As we meditate on the love that motivated you to endure all these things for our sake, may your love and your way become more precious to us. May our living every day and wherever we go tell the good news of your salvation, the good news of your sacrifice, and the good news of your love. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Lord, this world is so big and its problems so complicated that we cannot make our way without your guidance. Give us the trust we need to put ourselves into your hands. Help us to listen for your voice and to look for your hand in life. Help us to meet the crises of our lives with courage and our joys with hope. Increase our faith and trust in you. Lord, in your mercy, in complete trust now, O God of love, we submit to you the needs and concerns of all people. Comfort, console, and heal all in need, especially the hungry, those who are forgotten and alone, those who mourn, those who worry, those with addictions, and those who feel they have nowhere to turn. Bless all your people, O God, and especially those near to us whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, we have gathered now as your family, great author of life. Enlighten us by the knowledge of your word. Comfort and encourage us by your promises. Forgive us by your cross. And renew us by your love. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prayer with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen. Let us pray. Christ Jesus, at this table we have feasted on your very life and are strengthened for our journey. Send us forth from this banquet, nourished in body and in spirit, to proclaim your good news and serve others in your name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. In peace, serve the Lord.